It is interesting to remark that while Gornahor Harkok was speaking, he was tapping with his left foot on something very much like the transmission apparatus of the celebrated Morse, celebrated, be it said, only on the planet Earth. A few moments later, from the lower part of the Chachat Tzacha, there slowly rose a small object, something like a box with transparent walls, containing, as it afterwards proved, certain minerals, metalloids, metals, and various gases in liquid and solid states. Then, with the help of various appliances arranged at one side of the table, and by means of complicated manipulations, he took out of the box a piece of what is called red copper, put it on the mastic plate before him, and said, "This metal is a definite planetary crystallization representing one of the densities required for the said stability in the process of the common harmonious movement of all systems. It is a formation resulting from previous processes of the reciprocal action of the parts of the omnipresent Okidanoch. Now I will allow the transformation of this metal to proceed artificially at an accelerated pace by means of the particularities of the same factors. I intend to aid artificially the evolution and involution of its elements, either toward a greater density or, on the contrary, back toward their primal state. So that you may have a clearer picture of the whole experiment you are about to witness, I shall have to give you at least a brief account of my own first scientific deductions as to the causes and conditions that bring about the crystallization within planets of the three separate parts of Okidanoch in one or another of the definite formations I referred to. To begin with, from every non-law-conformable jot-klom, the separate parts of the omnipresent Okidanoch become localized in the medium of that part of the presence of the planet where the jot-klom has taken place. That is to say, in whatever corresponding mineral is there at that moment. Now, if the density of the elements of that medium has an affinity of vibrations with one of the active parts of the omnipresent Okidanoch, then, according to the world law called symmetrical interpenetration, this active part blends with the presence of the medium to become an inseparable part of it. And from that moment, the separate parts of Okidanoch, combined with the elements of the given medium, begin to represent the corresponding densities required in planets. That is to say, various kinds of metalloids or even metals, as for instance the metal existing under the name of red copper, which I have just placed in this medium, and where, at my wish, the striving to reblend into a whole of the parts of Okidanoch will now proceed artificially. Further, having thus arisen within the planets, these various metalloids and metals begin, as is proper to all arisings in which Okidanoch or any one of its active parts participate, to radiate from their presence the results of their inner interchange of substances, according to the universal law called the reciprocal feeding of everything existing. And as is proper to all radiations issuing from surplanetary and intraplanetary formations, the radiations of these metalloids and metals acquire a property almost like that of Okidanoch, or of any one of its active parts, present in what is called the center of gravity of all such formations. When these masses of different densities, which have thus arisen in planets under normal surrounding conditions, radiate the vibrations required for this universal law of the reciprocal feeding of everything existing, then among these vibrations having various properties, there is established, according to the fundamental world law of Toe Medekfe, a reciprocally acting contact. And it is the result of this contact which is the chief factor in the gradual change of the various densities in planets. My observations over many years have almost fully convinced me that it is only this contact and its results that assure the stability of the harmonious equilibrium of planets. The metal red copper which I have just placed in this sphere, where I propose to set in motion, in an artificial way, the active parts of Okidanoh, has at this moment a specific density of 444, reckoning from the unit of density of the sacred element Theomertmologos. That is to say, an atom of this metal is 444 times denser and as many times less vivifying than an atom of the sacred Theomertmologos. Now watch and see in what order the artificially accelerated transformations will take place. Having said this, he put in front of my organ of sight an automatically controlled Tescuano, then began to turn several switches on and off in a certain sequence. And as I looked through the Tescuano, he gave me the following explanation. I am now allowing all three parts of Okidanoh to flow into the sphere of presence containing this metal. And since all three parts have the same density and hence the same force of striving, they re-blend into a whole without changing anything in the presence of the metal. And the omnipresent Okidanoh thus obtained flows in its usual state through a special conduit out of the Chachatzacha and is reconcentrated in the first container, which you have already seen. Now look, I am deliberately increasing the force of striving of just one of the active parts of Okidanoh. In this case, I am increasing the force called cathodnaceous, and you will see that the elements composing the presence of the red copper begin to involve toward the quality of the substances that compose the ordinary presence of planets. While explaining this, he was turning various switches on and off in a certain sequence. Well, my boy, although I watched everything that went on very attentively, and everything I saw was impressed in my essence, pestul nutiale, that is, forever, I could not now, however much I might wish to do so, put into words a hundredth part of what then took place in that small fragment of an intraplanetary formation. Nor shall I even try to do so, for I have just thought of a way of actually showing it all to you, so that you too can soon be an eyewitness of that astonishing cosmic process. Meanwhile, I will only tell you that there proceeded in that fragment of red copper something rather like those frightful scenes among your favorites on the Earth that I occasionally observed through my Tescuano from the planet Mars. I say rather like because what I sometimes observed among your favorites was only at its beginning, whereas in that fragment of red copper, I was able to observe the whole process right up to its final transformation. A rough parallel can be drawn between what occasionally happens on your planet and what took place then in the small fragment of copper. If you imagine yourself high up, looking down upon a large public square where thousands of your favorites, seized with the most acute form of their chief psychosis, are destroying one another's existence by every means they have invented. And then, suddenly, in their places, you see their corpses, as they call them, which change color perceptibly, owing to the outrages done them by the beings not yet destroyed. And this gradually alters the general appearance of the surface of that large square. Now, my boy, by switching on and off the flow of the three active parts of Okidano, thus changing their force of striving, this future essence friend of mine, Gornahua Harhar, also changed the density of the elements of the red copper and thereby transformed this metal into all kinds of other interplanetary metals of lower or higher degree of vivifyingness. And here, to throw more light upon the strangeness of the psyche of the three brain beings who have taken your fancy, it is interesting and important to note that while Gornahuahahach, by means of his new invention, was artificially producing the evolution and involution in density and vivifyingness of the elements of red copper, I noticed distinctly that this metal was transformed at one point into that very metal about which many sorry scientists of your planet have been wiseacring for nearly the whole of their existence, in the hope of transforming other metals into it, thus leading astray their already sufficiently erring brethren. On Earth, this metal is called gold. Gold is no other than the metal we call Prutsthalavra, whose specific gravity, reckoning as always from the sacred Theo Mount Malogos, is 1,439. That is to say, an atom of gold is 3 1/2 times less vivifying than an atom of red copper. The reason I decided not to try to explain in words everything that took place in that fragment of red copper was because I suddenly remembered the all-gracious promise given me by our all-quarters maintainer, the most great arch-cherub, Pesht Vogner, which will make it possible for you to see with your own eyes indefinite intraplanetary formations the processes of the manifestations of the active parts of Okidanoch. And this all-gracious promise was given me just after my return from exile, when my first duty was to present myself to our all-quarters maintainer, the arch-cherub Pesht Vogner, and prostrating myself at his feet to perform before him what is called the essence sacred Aliyam Izunakalu. I was obliged to do this on account of the sins of my youth, for when I was pardoned by his uni-being endlessness and allowed to return to my native land, certain sacred individuals decided to demand of me that this sacred process be performed over my essence, both as a precaution against my ever again manifesting myself as in the days of my youth, and so that nothing similar would recur in the reason of most of the individuals dwelling at the center of the great universe. You probably do not yet know what the sacred Aliya Mizornakalu over an essence means. Later, I will explain that to you in detail. But meanwhile, I shall simply turn once more to our dear Mullah Nasiruddin, who describes this process as giving one's word of honor not to poke one's nose into the affairs of the authorities. In short, when I presented myself to our all quarters maintainer, he deigned to ask me, among other things, whether I had brought back with me all the being inventions that had interested me and that I had collected from various planets of that solar system where I had existed during my exile. I replied that I had brought back almost everything except those cumbersome apparatuses that my friend Gornahur Harhach had constructed for me on the planet Mars. He at once promised to give orders that everything I indicated should be put on board the spaceship Omnipresent on its next trip. So I hope, my boy, that everything necessary will have been brought to our planet Caritas, and that when we return there, you will be able to see the experiments with your own eyes, and I shall be able to explain everything in detail. In the meantime, during this journey of ours on the ship Karnak, I will tell you in their order, as I have already promised, about my descents to your planet and the reasons for my appearances there in person.